The Lord is so attentive to our hearts, obviously, as God. He knows all that's going on. But in his love for us, what he knows is going on, he responds to, he reacts to. And we see that in the gospel that we just heard. So this is Easter Sunday night, and St. Luke picks up where he left off in the verses before with the two disciples who had been so just broken and just shocked and grieved by having witnessed the Lord's passion and his death, that all of their hopes that he would be the Messiah, just all of that gone. And remember, they leave Jerusalem, they're heading to Emmaus, and they're done. And where their hearts are, and that gets revealed in these verses before, that's where the hearts of the other disciples, the apostles, are. They are just so devastated, so lacking hope. They're so just rocked by the grief, shocked by what's happened, that they don't know what to do. But the Lord knows that that's where their hearts are. And in this really beautiful way, the two disciples who have met the Lord on the road to Emmaus, they come back to Jerusalem, they share the news that they've seen the Lord, and then they hear that Peter had an encounter with him earlier, and then in the midst of that, the Lord appears to all of them in the upper room. But notice what he does. First, he lets them know, it's really me. It's not a ghost. And so he invites them to touch his hands and his side. But then after that, after reassuring them, it really is me, he wants them to know, I'm not here by accident. It wasn't by just some random chance that I escaped death. It wasn't that death had a 99% chance of winning, but I found the 1% way out. It's not that at all. In this really beautiful way, the Lord wants them to know, everything that you witnessed, everything that you've seen and experienced over these last days, all of that is in accord exactly with the Father's plan. And so he says to them, these are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, in the prophets, and in the Psalms, that all of that must be fulfilled. And he says, thus it is written that the Messiah would suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance for the forgiveness of sins would be preached in his name. He wants them to know, look, I know that everything that you've been through, everything that you saw me endure, I know that all of that has led you to think that whatever plan the Father had is just out the window. Or maybe you've thought that that plan never existed. I know that in everything that you saw and experienced, you thought that somehow the hand of God the Father was totally absent from that. But Jesus is saying to them, I need you to know that everything that you've just seen is exactly what the Father's plan was. This is so important, so deeply important and fundamental for our hearts as disciples of Jesus ourselves. As he's speaking these words to them, he's also speaking to us. He wants us to know that whatever we may see happening, especially those things where we feel like, Lord, what's going on right now, this sure looks like you're totally absent. He's wanting us to know, I have a plan. There is a plan. And in this amazing way, this plan also not only leaves room for suffering and trials and struggles, but this plan makes use of those very things, the things that you think most convince you that God is totally absent from this. Obviously, at the heart of it, his death on the cross, it's that especially where I am most active, where I'm most present. And we need to know this. And this is a theme the Lord has definitely has put it on my heart for, I don't know, I feel like the last 12 months, 18 months, it's such an important fundamental thing that we need to keep coming back to, because we are always prone to believing when we go through struggles and trials and difficulties that God is absent in that. And I think maybe part of it is that I feel like I've always heard that, I've shared that with you, that it's always easy for us to slip into a place where when things don't go the way that we think that they should, that we immediately say, Lord, where are you? But we often go beyond that and we get upset with God and we bear in our heart anger and resentment toward him when things don't go the way that we think that they should. And so it is so important for us to know, Lord, you have a plan, and that plan includes and leaves room for the things that we think could never be part of your plan. This is such an important, deep truth for us to know. And so that's why I focus on it today, that this is one of the first things that the Lord does when he appears to all of them, is he's wanting them to know, I have a plan. That truth is what we want to pray and ask the Lord. Lord, let our hearts know that that's true. Let our hearts know and believe and live according to that truth, that we wouldn't allow the struggles and the difficulties that we go through, no matter what they might be, that we would not allow those things to so shake us that we would give up all of our hope or believe that you stopped loving us or that you've suddenly abandoned us. This truth is especially important, I think, for our young adults and our youth. Again, often I've come back to this, that generation, those younger generations, bear so much anxiety and fear and worry in their hearts. And I think this is another reason why I find that I keep coming back to it, because with our young adults, with our high school teens and even younger, especially you need to know that God has a plan. In the midst of all of the fear and the anxiety that you carry, to know that the Lord has a plan, we have to hold on to that. But there's an interesting thing that's played out. We know in terms of just kind of general mental health for those younger generations, all of those issues are off the charts with worry, anxiety, fear, depression, loneliness, all of that. But one thing that's joined to that, there was a study that was done that came out just before COVID, so you know it's even more off the charts now. But researchers saw that for those younger generations, our millennials, Gen Z, and I'm sure it's you can see it below that as well, but in the research they've done, perfectionism is off the charts for those younger generations. Having grown up now in a digital world where we are so able to manipulate and craft and change things to get it perfect down to the individual pixel, among that generation especially, there is this huge spike up in perfectionism. And this research that they did, it was in the US, Canada, and the UK. And they looked at the prevalence of perfectionism across three areas. One was, I have to be perfect. The second was, I expect others to be perfect. The third was, society and culture expects me to be perfect. All of these have gone up, but especially there's this 30% just spike up in that last one, that among our young adults and our youth, there is this perceived idea, everyone around me is expecting me to be perfect. So when you join that to the deep wound that we all have flowing out of original sin, which is self-reliance, that pride that says, I have to do it, that's the deep battle of every heart from Adam and Eve when they said to the Lord, we're gonna make our own plan, we don't think we can trust you. When you join self-reliance to a massive spike in perfectionism, what does that do to the heart and the mind? Like if you're wondering, where does the anxiety come from? Where does the fear come from? Where does the paralysis among our young adults and teens come from when they look at life and they're like, ah, I don't know what to do, and I just get locked up and I can't even make a decision? Those two things are such a deadly combination in the human heart. The thought that it's all up to me and it must be perfect. And here in this gospel today, the Lord opens the door, which is our beautiful way out from that burden. When the Lord says, first of all, it is not all riding on you. I have a plan. And yes, I've made you free. And I want you, and I'm helping you by my grace to cooperate with that plan. But it's not all up to you to write it from scratch. I have a plan. You've seen it in my Son, but that plan leaves room and includes you. That's really good news. But then also to know that his plan is so beautifully perfect in a godly way that it's able to make use of even the things that we would think are a sign that there's no plan. The struggles, the trials, the difficulties, even that evil itself can be used by God to accomplish his plan. How marvelous is that love that he has for us? But we need to know that this is true. All of us need to know it. But my heart is so much with our young adults and our high school teens, because if you guys don't know that God has a plan that can make use of even the things that we see as utter failures, if we don't know that and we're going into life believing that it's all up to us, and that whatever we make of it must be perfect, that's not living. That is not the life that God desires or made us for. And so I want to encourage you, take this gospel passage and the first reading as well, because Peter preaches exactly what he heard Jesus say here. It's beautiful. Peter gets it right, like in a really awesome way. But this week, please go into these scripture passages. Let them sit in your heart. Pray with them slowly. Let it soak in that the Lord would convince you more and more and allow you to welcome this truth more and more. He has a plan, and that plan is able to make use of the stuff that we think is a sign that there's no plan at all. Let's pray and ask the Lord for that grace. Now, especially too, there are probably particular areas in your life right now, things that you're facing. Could be family issues, it could be health, it could be stuff with work or career, it could be stuff with school, but there are certainly areas in each of our lives where we may be battling this in particular, where we need to know in the midst of something that is a cause of great anxiety for us, that we need to know, Lord, you have a plan. And so welcome these scripture passages into your heart this week. But allow the Lord to take that truth and apply it specifically to those areas where you know that you're anxious and worried and fearful, that somehow it rides all on you, and that maybe that it's got to be perfect. Into those areas especially, let's ask the Lord for the grace to let this truth find its way in concretely to those areas of our life where we most need to know that this beautiful truth, that it really is true, and that it has meaning and salvation for us.